Our first lesson for this Sunday will also serve as our sermon text from Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any men or women belonging to the way, he might bring them to Jerusalem as prisoners. So he went on his way and was approaching Damascus. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" He replied, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you need to do." The men traveling with him stood there, speechless. They heard the voice, but did not see anyone. They raised Saul up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see anything. They took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. For 3 days he could not see, and he did not eat or drink. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," he answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord told him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. In fact, at this very moment he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he can regain his sight." Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many people about this man and how much harm he did to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has authority here from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." The Lord said to him, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the people of Israel. Indeed, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Ananias left and entered the house. Laying his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, whom you saw on your way here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul stayed with the disciples in Damascus for several days. Immediately, he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." All who heard him were amazed and said, "Isn't this the one who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? Didn't he come here for this very purpose, to bring them as prisoners to the chief priests?" But Saul continued to get stronger and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Give your attention again to that first lesson from Acts chapter 9. Let me read verses 15 through 20 again. The Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the people of Israel. Indeed, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Ananias left and entered the house. Laying his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, whom you saw on your way here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from his eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul stayed with the disciples in Damascus for several days. Immediately, he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God. This is the word of our God." And so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, especially you, the confirmands of the class of 2025. Such a fascinating story, isn't it? the conversion of Saul. Could you imagine if God had done something like that for you? Wouldn't that be awesome? So powerful, so miraculous, so life-changing. It'd be neat to have an experience like that, wouldn't it? Saul's conversion, to be turned around in a very real way from a path of destruction to a path of proclamation. And in such dramatic fashion, too. A blinding light and a voice that throws you to the ground, literally in the dust. What a change. What a powerful change. When you hear a story like that about Saul's conversion, it's no wonder that he turned out to be the greatest, perhaps arguably the greatest missionary in human history. Why don't we have a dramatic story like that? Well, as life-changing as that turnaround was for Saul, Jesus has had such a life-changing turnaround for you too. In fact, this day you're gathered here to celebrate that fact, that life-changing fact that God had for you. We're here to hear from your own lips about that amazing and powerful miracle that Jesus worked in your hearts and in your lives. Yes, Jesus has turned us around from blindness to sight, from causing suffering to enduring it, and from persecuting his name to proclaiming it. We first encounter Saul at the stoning of Stephen. There he was giving approval to the murder of the saint, the first martyr in the name of Jesus that's recorded for us in the New Testament. But as we see today, it wasn't just that murder that he was guilty of. And it wasn't even enough for him to just kill the believers in Jerusalem. He was traveling now to another country, to Syria, on the high priest's authority to persecute Christians there too. So Saul was firmly and resolutely on that path, down the exact road to Damascus. But the Lord had other plans for him, a completely different path for him. And God turned Saul completely around. As he went on his way and was approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" He replied, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you need to do." The powerful work of Jesus, the Lord, to turn Saul completely around. It wasn't an option for Saul either, was it? It was a necessity. You will be told what you need to do, what must be done by you. But it was what Jesus had done for him that was truly life-changing. Saul thought he had it all figured out. But just the opposite was true. He thought he was fervently serving the Lord, righteously serving him by the work that he was going to do, even in Damascus. But he didn't even know who the Lord was. But here, Jesus turned that spiritual blindness into sight. As a symbol of that spiritual blindness, Saul was struck for 3 days with physical blindness, a blindness which could only be healed by Jesus' miraculous power. And that's exactly what Jesus did for him. For 3 days he could not see, and he did not eat or drink, but God had a plan for Saul, and he called Ananias, one of his believers, to come and heal Saul, to turn his blindness to sight. Ananias left and entered the house. Laying his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, whom you saw on your way here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Such beautiful words those are. Now Saul could see again. Amazing, a wonderful miracle. That's what Jesus did for him. But that physical blindness wasn't the most beautiful part of this text. That was just a symbol of the spiritual blindness that fell from his eyes as he came to faith. What word did Ananias address him with? "Brother Saul." Saul came there to kill Ananias, to persecute him and put him to death. And Ananias goes to him and calls him brother. Why? Because he had become a brother of his through faith in Jesus, his Savior. Jesus, the Lord, had appeared to him on the road, and then the Holy Spirit filled him, and he was given this wonderful gift of baptism. He heard the voice of Jesus himself. What a miracle! What a turning around, that gift of faith from blindness to sight, to know who the true Lord is, Jesus the Lord. Jesus has done exactly that for you too. You were blind in your unbelief. All of us were when we were born. It's important that we don't underestimate the condition that all of us are born into. We are born spiritually blind, dead, enemies of God. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It opposes God at every turn, and that was true of us too. But God did a wonderful, powerful miracle for you with a simple water and his powerful word. Jesus spoke to you through your pastor and called you from that unbelief, from that death, from that blindness to life, to sight, to trust in Jesus as your Savior. Yes, you too have heard the voice of Jesus spoken through your parents, through your teachers, through your pastors, through the Bible. Every time that you open that Word of God, which is Jesus' voice himself, who has turned you from blindness to sight. What a miracle Jesus has done for you. And that miracle is life-changing for you too. Look at what it did for Saul. He went to Damascus to cause pain and suffering. He went there to persecute and to hurt and to harm anyone who was confessing the name of Jesus. Verse 1 tells us that Saul was breathing out murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord. Literally, he was breathing threats and murder. He was causing suffering for Christians, for followers of Jesus. But Jesus completely rewrote that script for Saul. He changed him completely. Instead of causing suffering to others, he would be enduring great suffering for that very name, Jesus. Jesus said about Saul to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the people of Israel. Indeed, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Must suffer. Again, the same way that he spoke to Saul. It wasn't an option for Saul. This was something that must be done. It was a necessity, and it would be carried out. And that word carry, he will carry my name before Gentiles and kings and the people of Israel. That word is different from the normal Greek word, the more common Greek word. That's a word that's used oftentimes to describe a pregnant woman who's bearing a child in her womb. It's a weight, a burden, difficult to carry. That was the name of Jesus for Saul. He must carry that name. He must bear it, endure it. It's a necessity to suffer. And oh, how much he will suffer as the chosen instrument of the Lord to serve that name. Later on, Saul, the apostle Paul, would write, "You see, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." The Lord, Jesus, who appeared to him on that road to Damascus, gave his life as an offering, poured out his blood as a sacrifice to take away Saul's sin. Saul felt that weight of the name of the Lord himself personally too, as God made him an offering, a drink offering, for the faith that he had in the name of Jesus. Saul didn't die from sickness or from accident. He was martyred for his faith in Jesus. After suffering as he carried the weight of that name as a believer in his life. My dear young friends, That's the life of a Christian. God doesn't promise you ease and peace. He doesn't assure that. He doesn't assure because you're a believer in his cross to save you from your sin that your life is going to be free of the cross. In fact, it's just the opposite. Look at the task that he gave to another believer, Ananias. He told Ananias, go now to talk to Saul, this man from Tarsus, and lay your hands on him so that he can see again. And Ananias must have been thinking, what? So he can see, so he can kill me, arrest me, and bring me back down to Jerusalem to be put in prison? These are the crosses that God presses down upon his believers. Go and baptize this murderer of Christians. Not an easy task. And yet he willingly obeyed the command of God. And Saul too, to suffer for my name, poured out like a drink offering in service to his Savior, his God. In just a few moments, confirmands, you're going to make a promise. You're going to promise that you would endure all things, even death, rather than give up this name that has rescued you. What will he ask you to do? What will he ask of you in the future? What kind of burden will that name be for you? I don't know. But I have no promise that it's going to be easy, pain-free, or absent of the cross of Jesus Christ. Rather, the opposite is true. He invites you to take up that cross, the name of Jesus who is your Savior, and daily follow him. That's what you're here to do today. As you'll be asked, are you ready and willing in the presence of God in this congregation to promise your faithfulness to the triune God? You'll carry that name of Jesus. And that faithfulness means that you put to death your sinful flesh. That faithfulness to God means that you're turning away from those pursuits of earthly pleasures, those worldly treasures, all those things that we don't want to give up, all those things that are painful to lose, even as our flesh cries out, no, not that. But Jesus, this one, loves you. He loves you that much that he did just that very thing for you. This is the one who hung on the cross for you. This is the one who cried out in anguish at the weight of that cross, the suffering of hell for you. My God, why have you forsaken me? But you know, you've been taught well the answer to that question. It was for you. Why? The pain of that cross was for you to wash all of your sins away. So that torment, the torment of hell for your sins, that will never be experienced by you, ever. No, he has turned you around so that you are motivated, inspired to endure even suffering with him, whatever that is that he may ask you to bear as a believer. There's still more. He's turned you around to do what? It isn't just what will be done to you, suffering and the pain of the cross. It's also what you will choose to do with your life. What you will find to accomplish in your life. You have a different mission. You have a different purpose. Think about Saul. Again, Saul's mission, his purpose, it was very direct and very clear. It was to persecute the name of Jesus. And Jesus acknowledged that when he appeared to Saul. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul asked, who are you, Lord? And Jesus answered him, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. By this, Saul learned to know who the Lord is. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is that Lord, the great I am. I am Jesus, identifying himself as that great I am who appeared to Moses, to Israel. He's the God of our salvation. Jesus, the Savior God. And Saul learned to know God, not just his name, but his work of salvation. As you know so well, his name is not just his titles. but everything about himself that he reveals in his word that worked to save you. Now, instead of persecuting that name and putting a stop to people believing in him and following him, he did just the opposite. What a turnaround. We read, immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." What a powerful change. From persecution of that name to bold proclamation of that very name, Jesus, the Son of God. And it amazed those who heard it. All who heard it were amazed, said, "Isn't this the one who raised havoc in Jerusalem among all those who call on his name? Didn't he come here for this very purpose, to bring them as prisoners to the chief priests?" But that didn't stop Saul. Saul continued to get stronger and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. The Christ, the chosen one, God's anointed one and Savior, the very truth for which these Jewish leaders had put Jesus to death and were now persecuting all those who followed him. Notice the groups to whom Saul would preach the gospel: Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. Yes, they all needed to know who Jesus was, who he truly was. But they were all also groups who would cause Saul great suffering and pain. What about your life? From persecution of Christ, with your sinful nature plaguing and poking and prodding him by turning away from his word, instead to proclamation of that name of Christ. "This is the Son of God. He is my Lord and Savior." What will you do with your life? God called Saul directly. He called him immediately. He called him with a wonderful power to go and proclaim that name in the public ministry. We don't have such a call. Even I don't have such a direct and immediate call. My call comes through a congregation of believers. And yet the call is the same, to proclaim the name. And in fact, you have a similar call by your call to faith when he turned you around. You are God's chosen people, his chosen instruments. As 1 Peter 2 tells you, you are a chosen people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, that you may proclaim, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So here you are today. You're here to do that very same thing. Today, you will proclaim the name of Jesus. What a change for your life. You don't persecute Christ with mockery and insult. No, you proclaim him. You boldly confess your faith. You'll do that today. And tomorrow? Tomorrow you'll speak that faith to the world. What a change. What a change in you. I pray for you. We all do. We pray fervently for you because we know the attacks that Satan will level against you. We know all the assaults and the abuse that the world that you face will level against you. And we know all too well that enemy that still lies right here inside of you, because it lies in all of us too. And yet we pray for you, dear young Christians. God bless you as you remain faithful to the one who lived and died and rose for you, who made such a miraculous, powerful turning around in your life to bring you from unbelief, from blindness to sight, to be able to, instead of bringing burdens upon others, to bear that cross for the name of Jesus, and then to carry that name to the world. God bless you with that profound change in you. God bless you as you make that promise to remain faithful to him today and every day of your life. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.